Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Cybersecurity Recruiter podcast. Today I'm joined by Lloyd Sanders. How are you doing, buddy?
Hey, I'm doing well. Thank you. Appreciate the opportunity to be here.
It's nice to have you on. For everyone listening, me and Lloyd were chatting just before we hit record about can we swear or not, and can we not swear, and even if we're not allowed to swear, will we? So this episode comes with a parental guidance warning if there's any youngsters out there listening.
Because there is swearing in cybersecurity, believe me.
Oh, yeah. I think, depending on what's going on, I think in the offensive security world, PCI DSS in Q4, there's a lot of swearing there. I think in the defensive world, I think incident response and stuff going on and security clearance work, trying to track those security clear candidates down. There's definitely some swearing going on in those searches in the recruitment world. Yeah, there's plenty of time for swearing, mate, isn't there?
Absolutely. Four-syllable swear words, too, not the little ones.
Cool. Lloyd, I'm looking forward to it. I know every time we've spoke, we've had a nice interaction. Last time we were chatting away, you were on a road trip. So I caught you at a time where I could chew your ear off for quite a while without you being maybe as bothered as if you were in the having your hands on the keyboard. So I know we've had a few good chats recently, and I'm looking forward to today, and it'll be good. For those listeners that don't know you, I'll do you a bit of an intro, Lloyd. As a fair few people in security have, you started off in the US Army. You were in the US Army for over two decades. You started off as a junior executive. You worked your way up very nicely within the Army, deputy operations officer, head of department, director of headquarters, director titles, portfolio managers. You went all the way up to managing a program in the US Army over that two-decade period. When you came into the commercial world, you landed straight away as a principal consultant. You then did some business development managerial activities within the tech space. You were then a technology transition program manager for Core Technologies. Currently, you are a CTO for Strategic AI Services, and you were also CTO for Offset Strategic Services, Inc., and that's a position that you've held for almost 7 years now. Lloyd, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks. Hard to believe it's been 7 years.
No, it does. It probably show my age a bit here, but it does just seem to go faster as you get older, mate, doesn't it? It's frightening, really.
Yeah, it's like that roller coaster. You got up to the top, it's all downhill from here. Just screaming and hand-waving the rest of the way.
Yeah, I've got a theory. Going slightly off topic here, but I will do. But I've got a theory. Like, when you're 4 years old, a year is like 25% of your life. So like a year's bound to take a long time. But when you're getting a bit older, and we won't talk about how old we are or anything like that. You know, you get a bit older and a year's a little bit less in percentage terms, shall we say. So that's my theory why time's going so quick anyway for everyone.
Well, you already dimed me out on the two decades part, but that's okay.
Sorry, mate. No, it'd be good, Lloyd. I'd be interested to talk to you about your transition out of the Army. There'll be a lot of people listening that whenever I have a guest on, and I've had a few that have come out of the Army into the security space and done well, like yourself, and progressed up to senior. Obviously, you've come right up to CTO level. So there'll be a lot of people that want to hear about how you transitioned out, do's and don'ts, what you know now that you wish you knew back then. But I'll start where I always start, which is, I know I've done you a bit of an intro, but who are you? What do you get up to on a day-to-day? And yeah, what's a day in the life of Lloyd right now?
I know you read all the stuff, and those titles were heavily civilianized. We say different words in DOD, but at heart, I'm an infantryman. I enlisted as an infantryman, became an officer. So my whole focus, my mindset is very direct action, fight. Everything is a conflict. And I'm a very black and white individual. There's good guys and there's bad guys. I let the boss deal with politics and people and gray zones. But for me, there is secure and unsecure, good and bad, right? And so my biggest concern is just protecting the company. That's the day-to-day. So now I wear a lot of hats because we are a small business. At one point, I was the HR guy. I was the facility security guy. I was the IT guy. And I got to tell you, being the IT guy, the reason I was the IT guy is because I can build a gaming computer. That's my qualification. And so you go to war with the Army you have, and I was employee number two. So guess what? You're everything IT, to include cybersecurity. So 7 years ago, I couldn't even spell IT, much less cybersecurity. And here we are now. I guess you could say that I am now an award-winning cybersecurity professional. A couple of weeks ago, my boss picked up. I was at the beach, which was great.
Okay.
But
okay, cool.
At the National Cyber Summit in Huntsville, I got the, what do they call it? Industry Cyber Management Award.
Pretty good.
So, yeah. This is what award winning looks like, and it's sad.
No, cool. I tell you what, Lord, I bet it's been a hell of a coming in at employee number two. That was roughly seven years ago. I bet that's been a hell of a journey, full stop. But I bet it's been a hell of a growth journey for yourself as well. I bet there's been a lot that's gone down in that time period.
Oh, absolutely. I had my set of skills. I was a warfighter and a program manager and a general manager in the Army, but when I became employee two, I volunteered to pick up human resources. Well, that's a career field. People specialize in that, and they spend their whole career, and there's legislation and regulation, and they got to keep up with that evolution. And so I picked up that. I picked up, like I said, the facility security, and that's not as difficult given my background, but still a lot of rules and regulations. And then IT, okay, I can stand you up a laptop, but when it comes down to, no kidding, corporate cybersecurity, hey, there's a lot of regulation. There's a lot of stuff you have to read and understand and then take some action based off those regulations. And that's a lot of learning. And I tell you, that's, if you can't learn, if you can't read, you're done.
It is, Lloyd. It's this, I think for people listening as well, I think it's great the fact you've done all that, because I think, and there's some science behind this as well. Like, the more new skills you develop and learn, the more you get used to it, I think the more it essentially makes you a more intelligent person, and you get more adaptable and you get better at things. I know from stuff we've got going on here, stuff that used to stress me out 2 or 3 years ago, all sorts happens within our agency. And now it's like you just get used to it and it's just all part and parcel. And I think having that ability to pick new things up, it's very heavily related to security because it's changing so much. But it's fun, it's stimulating, and like I say, it's intrinsically linked to success in security, Lloyd, isn't it?
It is. And security is baked into every aspect of every discipline within your organization, HR, accounting, all of it. Security is a theme that runs through everything. So creating secure, aware disciplines within your organization is paramount to having a secure organization, because, again, they're going to go after the weakest link.
Yeah, no, definitely. On the intro there, we mentioned some business development along the way. We talk about communication a lot on the podcast. I just think, I always say, if you've got the technical skills, you combine that with some communication, some hard work and persistence, you become dangerous and unstoppable in a good way when it comes to your career growth and your career progression. Did that biz dev stuff, I'm imagining it did. Did it help with you getting your communication strong and being able to communicate to stakeholders and stuff like that?
I definitely have to agree with you. I think somewhere in my notes here, I've got something that says, one, at the foundation, you've got to have your technical chops about you. You've got to know what you're talking about. And what I found, that I'm so new to cybersecurity that I don't have 2 decades of cybersecurity of experience as my foundation and bedrock. I have what I've read. Man, we're not going to talk about age here. I'm just saying I can't remember everything. And so I got to remember what I read and where that reference is and go back to it. And I think that's really what makes folks a subject matter expert, is not that they've got that ready made opinion from 2 decades, but that they've kept up with and are keeping up with, where is it at today? And I know where to go find the answer. I think that's more important. Read it, understand it, and know how to go back and reference and stand on your references, which is really important, because when you're talking to leadership, once you've got that technical base and you're the subject matter expert for your organization, if you can't talk to the boss and explain, here's the ROI, here's the cost avoidance, and speak like business, that business side of your communication, you're just a tech guy that's probably going to be kept in a back office and they slide pizza to.
It's so true, mate. And I like to give real life stories of what's happening in my day job to emphasize this to the listeners, because I worry that there's some people out there, maybe some people at a mid-level, maybe some people breaking in, and they think, oh, yeah, what are they on about? Does communication really matter? I can tell you firsthand, everything you've just said there is absolutely correct. Like, I'm thinking about some of the roles I'm working on right now, very technical roles. I know the founders of the company, I'm just thinking about one in particular, the founder of the company is from a very technical background. And if the communication's not absolutely on point, obviously the technical skills need to be there as well, but if the communication's not really good, he's just not interested. And it's becoming more and more common. I think maybe, you know, you go back 3, 4, 5, maybe 6 years, perhaps it wasn't as much as it is now. But I think as we go on, that consultative approach and being able to liaise with all these different types of people, it's just imperative.
Absolutely. I've got, in one former life, I learned some steps. The first one is you got to have rapport, right? You're either working with your boss or you're working with a customer, whoever they are, but you've got to have that exchange, the openness. And the next thing you got to do is just shut up and either listen or think about their needs and interests, right? Because that's what they want to hear about. If it's the president, it's about the business being successful in whatever those metrics are, whether they're profit by quarter or growth or whatever that is, whatever they're interested in, and explain, this is what your needs and interests are, and here's the opportunities and benefits of what I'm trying to tell you. Because if you know what his needs are and his interests and you're meeting those, then they're going to be all ears. If you can't think that way and put yourself in their shoes, then you can't close.
Definitely. And thinking about it from their point of view, we got to add an interview with a client on Friday, Lloyd, and we got the feedback today is progressing to the next stage. And the feedback literally said he was able to explain his pen testing methodology when it came to web app in a very clear and concise manner. There was other things that he did well as well, but that was one of the things they were like, he was just like, bang, to the point. People, I think the further up the chain you get, you mentioned presidents there and stuff like that. Like you said, listen, shut, and get. They just want you to get to the flipping point, man, don't they? Right. If you waffle, they hate it.
Yeah. Well, I think it was Einstein that said, if you can't explain it to a six-year-old, you don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, definitely.
Paraphrasing, but yeah, the attention span of a six-year-old is a lot like a president. They're busy.
Yeah, they are. They are. This might be really difficult to answer, but I'll ask you anyway. If I'm listening and I'm like agreeing with everything me and you are saying, but I know I need to get better, have you got any ways to get better? Has your communication always been strong, or did you have to work on it? Have you got any hints or tips or advice for getting those communication skills like absolutely on fire?
The first thing I would say is know if that's really what you want to do. Because we all have innate strengths and abilities, and we have weaknesses. And there are some folks that no matter how hard they try, they are, it's just trying to send a paraplegic to ascend Mount Everest. It's possible. I'm sure it's possible, but would there be better time spent, right? Because it's going to be so hard. And the return on investment and time and everything, that you may need to take stock of your real strengths and weaknesses. And so when I came out of the Army, I used something called a book called What Color Is Your Parachute? It talks about transition. And then there's something in there called the Seven Petals Analysis, where if you go and answer all those seven questions, what's my work environment like? What's the culture I like? What's the type of work that I like? And you analyze that opportunity, that may be your objective job. What's perfect for you? And then you may need to take a lot of steps to get there, because the objective, especially if you're in your 20s, is probably not something you're going to achieve until some indecipherable period of time that may be over two decades. So now if this is your objective, you've got to have a plan. What are the skills that I need to have that objective job? If that objective job is being on a board, talking to C-level folks, I've got to talk to C-level folks. I've got to learn how to do that. I need to learn my technical discipline, whatever those education paths are. And it doesn't necessarily have to be college. I know some fantastic cybersecurity guys that only have a high school education and no certs, but it's their experience. They've always been doing it. Those are the guys I go to, not PhDs and certs out the yin-yang. I'm going to guys that are doing it every day and just know it. But yeah, you've got to decide what those developmental opportunities are, if they are surmountable, if they really do, you have that capacity, and then work on them. And communication is important, and it is difficult, but it's not overcomable. Over here, we've got something called Toastmasters. If you don't know how to talk in front of people, you've got to learn. You've got to do it. And the only way to get better at it is to do it and get uncomfortable.
Yeah, no, you have, Lloyd. And what's interesting there as well, the first bit you said is just know what you want. And that is so true. I think where a lot of companies get it wrong, and I know this because obviously I'm speaking to candidates all day every day, is they get the best SOC analyst or they get the best hacker and they go, let's make him the technical director or let's make it. But that guy or girl doesn't necessarily want to do that. It's fascinating for me to hear that you talked about how clearly your management skills and you're able to deal with these people and run teams and stuff. But you talked about not coming from a cyber background. And I think that's really interesting. I just wonder how many companies out there just promote the best analyst or the best hacker to a director or to a chief chief technology officer, and they perhaps don't want to do it. They don't like it. Perhaps they're not the best at it, because if you don't like something, you don't tend to be that good at it. And I think it gets me thinking about the whole, I don't know. I just wonder how many people are unhappy doing what they're doing and then leave. I know it's the case, because when people are talking to me, they're talking to me for a reason, probably because they're interested. Well, not probably, because they're interested in a move, or they're looking around. And the amount of people that I speak to that have been pushed into a leadership role, or they're getting forced into a leadership role, and all they want to do is keep their hands on the keyboard all day and be left alone. So I think knowing what you want is absolutely, like, that's a massive one, mate, isn't it?
It's under a lot of pressure to promote from within. And so you take that great technical guy or gal, and then we're going to move you up to, you're now the personnel manager of the organization. You're writing policy, enforcing, and now they're not staring at the matrix all day anymore. And that, if that was what they enjoyed, and that, I tell you, it don't go through life unhappy, because money does not make you happy. Enjoying what you do is everything.
Yeah, no, it is. And yeah, it's and like I say, if you want to do it, that's great. And there's plenty of great leaders out there that want to do it, and they'll be really happy. But yeah, definitely just be sure. I always say it to people transitioning into a leadership role, you know, are you sure? Yeah, are you sure? Like I say, I think the money thing and the trappings that come with it and stuff like that, obviously from the outside, it looks great. And I think there's aspects of it that are amazing. And the money, like I say, it's not all about money, but the money's great. So I think that you can see why people edge towards it. But yeah, you've got to know what you're letting yourself into. Toastmasters, by the way, like, that gets a shout out so often. Like, it's had multiple shout outs on the show. So yeah, for people listening,
nobody should be managing people for the first time, having never thought about managing people for the first time, about how I clearly communicate what we have to do with them, how to organize them and motivate them. And that's really, there's a difference between managing and leading. And when you're responsible for people, you really need to be looking out for them and leading them to their objectives and goals, as well as their own personal ones. It's more than just Toastmasters, right? That's just the ability to stand up in front of folks and talk. But I'd also highly suggest some self-discovery and leadership training, because when you're a manager, you've got those people, and now you've got to, as a team, accomplish whatever the objective is. How do you do that when you've got someone who's a challenge, right? They've got something going on in their life. Most people want to be successful. A lot of people have a lot going on in their life. So it takes a lot of energy to help folks through rough patches and hurdles, and not just be like, you know what, you're fired. A lot of compassion. And when you invest in people, there's generally an ROI.
Yeah, definitely. Like I say, I think you've actually got a care, mate, haven't you? Because it's like I say, you need a lot of energy to do this, to do that consistently. I think you've really got a care, mate. But so let's say that I've thought about it and I definitely want to do it. I definitely want to get into leadership. I'd love to be a CTO. How do I go about that? Because, Lord, you've got to that seat. You've actually held senior positions for a long time, and there's people out there that never get there. What do you think holds people back, and any tips for people that want to take that leap? Any advice for making sure that happens in terms of their growth and career progression?
I guess I have a lot of euphemisms and expressions, but success is when opportunity meets preparation. So you can't just stumble into an opportunity and then think, oh, what do I have to do to seize this? If you're not ready to wrestle it to the ground and kill it, then it defeats you and moves on. It finds somebody worthy of the challenge. Again, knowing what your long-term goal is and constantly working to be better every day. I read every day, religiously. In the morning or the evening, I'm trying to read something, whether it's changing regulation or changing technologies, market research on evolving technologies. Just, if I'm not keeping up, if I'm not getting better, then I'm decaying. So that's stop getting smarter.
Do you know what? I read this in a book once. It was basically saying you're never standing still, which is what you've just said. You're either moving back or moving forward. So just make sure you're moving forward. I'll tell you something else. Within our agency, we have this training that we do, and it's with this outside course, and it involves Zoom calls. It involves coursework that we can do either in work or out of work or whatever it might be. And what the guy said to me the week, he was like, there was a group of us on this Zoom call, there's about 12 of us. And he went, when's the last time anyone on this call actually worked on their mindset and themselves and getting themselves right? And I was like, God, yeah, I've been so wrapped up in work, I've not done that for ages. And I've started listening to this audiobook now called Cyber Cybernetics, something like that. And it's like all about just, you stop and think about, you talk about managing different people's egos and this, that. And it's like, when you stop and think about it, some of the stuff that I do wrong, I'm like, God, that's cringy that I'm doing that wrong. And it's not until you actually stop and work on it and focus on it that you get it better.
100%. You can be reading, which is great. You got to be taking things in, but you really do need to take some unengaged time. The other thing I say is physical fitness, right? Cybersecurity, you can stare at the matrix. It will take 24 hours of your day away if you stare at it. And if you're not unplugging and getting a little cerebral thinking about strategy, you really have to take the time to set it aside. So great time for that is doing some physical fitness, because this is a war. It's a strategic long-term war, us versus them. The enemy is attempting to hack us every single day. Okay. Every day is a conflict, us versus them. That's tiring. That every day you worry, are they going to get in today? They're going to get in someday, right? And when that happens, are you ready? Because when it happens, when bad things happen, you have to be there, especially if you're salary and you're working a contingency, right? It's no longer an 8-hour day problem. It is everybody on deck working it until we get things, the ship righted. And if you're breached, that's some long hours. Do you have the mental and physical capacity to go through that process with the rest of your staff? There's mental toughness that goes into that. There's physical toughness. And then taking the time out to prepare yourself mentally and physically is, you really need time to think critically, to prepare yourself physically. It's going to be all or nothing when it happens.
Yeah, I was listening to this thing last night, and literally this podcast in bed actually, Lord, about all switching off and stuff like that. And it was talking about, I think my Slack's pinged twice since we've been on this pod, and like we've got emails going off. And this guy was basically saying, like, our central nervous systems now, they just never switch off. Like, on the whole, I know we've got a lot going on in the world at the minute, but people are living longer and life's pretty good, but like anxiety levels are like higher than ever and we're all stressed. And I think it's because you use the word, then you've got to unplug, and it's definitely something I've got to get better at. And it's, we never give our bodies a complete, even when I'm chilling, like I'm checking the phone, I'm doing that, something's happening on LinkedIn. It's like the phones are great. You've got to be intentional about switching off, I think, haven't you?
That's a great word, intentional. Put it on your calendar. This time is reserved for this. That's a perfectly acceptable technique in my book that says, I'm not looking at email here just to do this, right? I closed, no email, no Teams, no phone. All right, this is what we're going to do. And then if there's a crisis, of course, we'll get to it.
I think the other thing is, technology is amazing and we're so much more connected, but we're also accessible now. Like it's, I don't know if you ever feel like this, but it's like you got people pinging you all the time, and then people ping you again and chase you up, and you almost feel rude. But I think sometimes you've just got to get to the point where you get to the end of a day, it's been a long day, you've worked for many days straight, and someone's, can you just, obviously if there's an incident or something on the security standpoint, but that's a different matter. But sometimes you've probably just got to say no. It just gets with me. It's like, oh, can you do this? Can you check my resume? And it's, you've got so many people reaching out. And it's at some point, you've just got to say no, because otherwise you probably won't be around in 4 or 5 years' time, because you've just completely frazzled yourself.
It's easy to do. Yeah, you're living it. So, yeah, it's, I don't care where you are. It's, if you're in a position where you're going to go forward, you're going to experience that level of stress. If your job is so easy, there's no stress, you're probably not going anywhere. Yeah, no, that can be tough. Turning the brain off at night can be tough. And that's why I think it's so important to set that unplug time away, especially before bed, because the bad guys are staying up at night thinking about how to defeat us. We need to be thinking clearly to figure out how to defeat them. So not sleeping, staying up at night, not being able to sleep and get that rest so you can think clearly and strategically. Don't underestimate sleep. You're not doing anybody any favors if you're getting 2 to 4 hours of sleep at night and thinking, I'm such a productive worker. No, you're probably pretty dumb at work.
Yeah, you probably are. And let's see, you're not doing anyone else any favors. You're not doing yourself any favors either. And I think from a leadership perspective as well, like, I think you probably owe it to your team to exercise and eat right and sleep right. Because like you say, you've got to not necessarily work all the hours under the sun, but when you're called upon or when something happens, like you say, you've got to be able to communicate the message well, clearly, to the point. And yeah, you need to have mental clarity and good awareness levels to do that, don't you?
Yeah. As a leader, don't be the weakest link, right? Because when you fail, if you're the leader and your whole team is looking at you for guidance and you fail, then they're all failing. So.
Yeah, definitely. Lloyd, over the years, and we've talked about a lot of good stuff and obviously come out of the army, gone into the commercial world, and it looks, looking for your LinkedIn profile, it looks like it's all just been sunshine and roses. I'm sure it hasn't. I'm sure there's been some really tough times along the way. And the question is, when things do get tough, when things aren't going right, how do you manage that? How do you keep moving forward? People are on the job market now. There's people out there that are having a tough time. Any like resilience tips or like mental strength tips that you've got?
Well, given my former experience, brute force and ignorance is a go-to method, but I really don't recommend it. It is, number one, getting a job is really about who you know. And moving up in the world and getting promoted is really about who you know and who can vouch for you. The best jobs are found by people who know you and have come to realize that you're solid. So bring in your A game every day over two decades. People will have seen you fall down, make mistakes. Everybody does. The question is, are you upright about it and saying, yep, that's my bad. I made the mistake. I'm going to correct it. Or do you have people coming back and trying to clean up your mess because you can't clean it up? And so knowing where you're going to make those mistakes and avoiding those situations, communicating clearly with folks and saying, I'm good here. This is not a good thing for me. That flies in the face of get uncomfortable and get yourself better. But don't sign up for stuff where you're going to fail and fail the team either. But yeah, everybody's going to fail. Everybody's going to fall down. There's going to be days where you go to bed like, what am I doing? And you got to get up tomorrow and think about, okay, I wasn't successful yesterday. What do I have to change? And it's that every day, building that house one brick at a time. Yeah, it takes one brick every day. You got to bring it. And eventually you get a house.
Yeah, no, it's, yeah, sometimes you, like I say, you've just almost got to switch off and just stick to the routine and just push forward. I really like that about what you said about, essentially what you're talking about there is your brand and your personal brand. And I talk about this a lot, and I think some people think, oh, I don't bother with that because I haven't got a YouTube channel, I don't go on LinkedIn much. But everyone's got a brand. Like I say, if you're working hard and doing things right and pushing forward, even if you're not getting the results, even if you're not getting what you want, even if maybe you're not getting that job, it's actually not a waste of time at all because you're building like a personal brand. If you've got a reputation for every time something happens, Lloyd's there, he's making it happen, he's dealing with that, he's staying cool, calm and collected, everyone's cool, we're rocking, we're happy. That's going to benefit you and other people around you. So it, given time, it spreads. So I think having that ethos, just if you stick to it consistently, it can't not come back and reward you given time.
I agree. And knowing, pursuing the right opportunities that help you help build that brand and are along your strategic plan to your objective, right? I liked being an infantryman. It was very physical. It was like being part of a football team, right? A lot of camaraderie, but it's a physical thing. And when sooner or later that gets taken away from everybody, some sooner than others. All right. I had to rebrand in the Army and get cerebral because physically I couldn't kick in doors anymore. So at that point it's okay. I've really got to become a brain thinking more so than running around carrying heavy objects. So what am I going to do going forward? That was a transition for me. So I got into technology, acquiring technology for what we call C4ISR, C5ISR, which is a fancy way of saying if it had a blinking light, this is the bucket it goes in. But stands for command and control, computers, cybersecurity, intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance. But again, all that stuff has blinking lights, and most commanders say, all right, over there, just make it work. As most presidents and leaders do, right? IT guy, make it work. But when I left the Army, having worked in all these technologies, I knew I really like technology. I like finding them, solving problems with them. And as you'll see, coming out of the Army, I was a consultant helping multiple customers. Mm-hmm. Here's your technologies. Here's who can use them, how to use them. When I went to work for Spacecraft Industries, sounds really cool. It was technology, business development in technology. And then CORD, technology transition. You're right. There was a brand. Every step that I took. If it didn't deal with technology, we weren't going to do it. And eventually I became a CTO. I saw what a CTO did. I said, that is what I would like to do. Mm. That makes sense to me. Come up with concepts, develop a product, get it to a customer, as well as corporate infrastructure, right? So I also do CIO stuff until we get somebody better, right?
You're doing it for now, mate. You're good at that.
Maybe I'll get good at it. We'll see. Practice, right?
Yeah, do you know what? I bet that transition, you use the word kicking doors in, because it's like we all have identities and that drives us to a certain extent. I'm imagining that you were passionate about technology, you've mentioned there, but I'm still imagining that transition, because to go from what you were doing before, the physical element, to getting into dealing with C-suite and tech, it's a big identity shift as well, isn't it?
It absolutely is. Most people think of infantrymen as relatively uneducated, maybe unsophisticated individuals who long furry beards and rifles, and that's okay, but you can be something beyond that. And understanding that is what lets me be a CTO of a defense contractor, because I understand the customer. I've been the customer. And that's really what that is. If you've been somewhere and you understand that customer set, then maybe if you've got the right mental abilities, then you can reach a point where you're delivering new products and services back to that customer because you understand them. I would not think to go into the oil and gas industry and think that I'd be successful trying to come up with new ways to reach resources under the earth. Not my experience.
Yeah. Now, Lloyd, it's good. And I like the way that you said you can transition there. You've gone on to do version 2.0 or whatever it is of yourself. And it's nice for people to hear that, because I think these days, like, I think this whole adaptability thing's becoming bigger and bigger as time goes on. Like, you've had to adapt into a new career. And I think it will be the case as time goes on. If we go back a long time, the whole job for life thing's just obviously completely gone now. But years ago, you'd get a job in wherever it is, and the chances are you'd have that job and you'd keep it and you'd retire, and that was your skill set of job done. But let's say you've had a big change once. I actually think as time goes on, change is happening faster and faster. So I think that adaptability element, I think it's going to be key, mate, isn't it? Sounds a bit AI. I'm seeing AI everywhere at the minute. It's almost a bit cliche to say those words, but it's happening.
But it's not. It is upon us. I've been with OS for 7 years. SAS is our joint venture that we just stood up. We're a great defense contractor, very, you know, high quality, a lot of quality management, very mature, but we don't have a lot of AI experience, and yet we recognize that AI is the next offset capability that will give the United States advantage in the future. We don't have that. How did we get it? So I've got a very strategic thinking president. He went out and formed this joint venture, and now, like you said, adaptability. All right. I'm supposed to know human resources, security, IT, cybersecurity. Now I've got to be the AI guru. And oh, by the way, we're also working some quantum stuff. We're talking about so many technical disciplines that I'm constantly studying and trying to understand. When I'm talking to a PhD, he doesn't leave me in the dust. I can at least hang on to the bumper, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, especially in a small business, if you're in a small business, your hat, you're going to get handed a hat you've never worn before and say, this is yours now, go. It might be easier in big corporations where you have more people to say, hey, this is your playground, stay in it, but not in small business.
Mm-hmm. I think there's a real opportunity for small business, you know, because it's like I hear about what's going on. Like, I was talking to a candidate this morning. We were talking about what they're doing. They're doing, like, they've done some attack surface management stuff, like continuous pen testing stuff, but they've done some, like, continuous red teaming stuff. And yes, the human element's still there. And they're talking about, like, different things they're doing with phishing campaigns and different OSINT and recon. And it's like you said, it is upon us. There was a phase where it was, yeah, whatever. It's arrived, mate, hasn't it?
Not only has it arrived in that AI is here to help us, but enemy is using AI to defeat us. And in the last couple of weeks, I've run into several collaborating with others, understanding what's happening in their organizations and sharing TTPs and saying, hey, this is happening to us. This is how we think it happened to us. And social hacking is becoming much easier through AI. I heard about a finance individual at a company who was engaged in a Teams with two, let's just call them C-level folks. And those two C-level folks agreed that this financial person needed to disperse some funds in a given direction to do something, right? And they don't think anything of it. I've got two senior decision makers. Both of those decision makers were deepfakes. Both. Think about that. The level of penetration into your organization to, one, be able to access your teams, those accounts, have collected all of the facial data to create the deepfakes and the voices, and then communicate effectively enough. Yeah, that's insane. And then once someone has been breached like that and you don't know who to trust, right? You had a business relationship, but now it's, hey, this email that I just got from you, is this another hacked email? Are you legit anymore? The loss of trust in that organization from all the customers, I've seen it. And it's, wow, nobody wants to do business with you now because they can't trust you.
It does make you wonder where it's going to get, or already where it's at, but it makes you wonder if that's what's happening now. I don't know, what's it going to be like in 4 or 5 years' time? Like, I heard this one, this guy that I follow on LinkedIn, he's a UK guy, and he sold his business, and he's obviously getting bored because he's looking into everything that AI does, and he's just getting really into it. And he found this tool, this AI tool, that can scrape his voice from the internet and produce a podcast episode. So he basically did it on what happened with his business during COVID. And I listened to an extract and it just sounded like a podcast. I'm sat here going, hang on, is this going to ruin my podcast? Is this going to ruin the podcast? Can anyone just auto? I think on the whole, it's good. And I'm seeing great things that we're doing in our business. We can definitely do a lot more with less people. We had visions of going really big. I don't think we need to anymore. I'm sure you're probably finding the same. But I think on the whole, it's good. But there is elements that are scary, isn't there?
It's everything is scary, man. The bad guys are always out there, and they're organized.
They are.
You know, it's not just one hacker in a basement anymore. No. There's groups of them working in little enclaves to knock over targets. Really? And that makes it really difficult.
It does. Did you see that? There was that ransomware group, and I think they had an argument internally. So one of them released loads of information. They released all their revenue figures, and and to your point, they were incredibly organized, like very good organizational structures, management team, leadership. It was like a proper organization, and they were turning over hundreds of millions, which is scary.
And what's interesting is there's these things called advanced persistent threats. They're generally nation state actors, but they don't have to be. They can be organizations that are hacking, but they're organized and they have objectives. One APT's objective is not money, it's information to win the technical data domain. Another one, it's all about money. We just need some cash. And for others, it's making political statements. It's not about doing anything for themselves, but it's about damaging or harming someone else's reputation or image. And so every one of those guys is coming at the victim a different way. And it's hard to say. One may want money. They're coming at you one way. One may just want to harm your reputation. They're coming at you completely different attempts and approaches and techniques. And to educate your workforce against all of those is a constant battle. You need them to get better every day.
Mm. I think if we knew everything, we'd be just absolutely petrified.
You aren't?
Yeah, even more.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, it's a fascinating time.
Yeah, just even around your house. If you really thought about how vulnerable your house is, how easy it is to bypass a door lock, your router, and then once bypassed, what can they do? And it's just really scary.
It is, it really is. But yeah, that deep fake one's crazy. I'd heard something about a deep fake incident maybe a few months ago, but that one with two people, and I don't think I was familiar with that one. But so what did they do? The person just sent them a load of money, I presume? And
yeah, sent the money where directed, and then management was like, hey, why did we send this payment over here? Because you told me. No, I didn't. And then they would go back and be like, here's the Teams meeting that we had and both of you were on it. And they start working it forensically and figure out, here's my alibi. I was not at that meeting. Then how did it happen? They start pulling it apart and realize through the logs, we got breached and here's what happened.
We're going to have a code word. When I ring you from now on, mate, me and you are going to have a code word. I won't announce it on the pod for security reasons.
Correct. I will tell you that We have implemented some techniques from our military backgrounds to ensure that we protect against that very thing now. Yeah. What those techniques are, I won't share, but you got to stop, set aside some time, and do some strategic thinking about how are we going to deal with this?
You have, because as scary as all this is, if you do what you've just said, chances are you're going to be okay. It's like ransomware. If you've got cold storage, if you've got a backup and it's all done properly, you'll be okay. It's only when people don't take the time, which most don't. And yeah, that's when you get in hot water.
Yeah, and that's, you shouldn't be there, but management has to understand why you need these things and how do we prepare against this? Because it's not a question of if, it's when. Somebody somewhere in your organization will click a link, open a file, do something, and then boom.
Yeah, they will. They will, mate. It's, you know, I always think about it in recruitment. You know, I had like a email come through to the inbox and it was just a candidate sending me his resume. And I it just looked a bit, and it was fine, but it's because I always think as a recruiter, like, oh, if someone could say it's a resume, what a great way to fish. But you just got to be alert all the time. But yeah, it's a constant battle, mate. Constant battle.
It is. Yeah, that's a big vulnerability in an attack vector is resumes. So if you're pulling in resumes from the street and you don't have a layered defense, then those payloads are going to arrive.
Yeah, they definitely. When I think about some of the bigger agencies that perhaps don't have any or very little cybersecurity, and some of the huge agencies are quite archaic in the way they think and their systems, and they hold a lot of good relationships and they do very well. But I can imagine in some of those big organizations, you send a recruiter that's a marketing recruiter with very little cybersecurity knowledge, the chances are they're going to click it.
No, it's 100%. We recently expanded our headquarters with some non-DOD folks, and they've got a heavy learning curve. So there's a lot of supervision and explaining and a lot of training. So there's some great products out there to inoculate people against phishing. So highly recommend them. Because people with AI, they're really not trying to break through the firewall anymore. They're going to break people and get in through people.
Yeah. Did you hear about that Know Before one where that was frightening.
The Korean guy?
Yeah. That was just like, because I did a post about it, because this guy, I had someone and they just wouldn't put their camera on, and it was a consulting role. And I know my client well. She's really nice. She's built her business up from day dot and it's her baby. And this guy wouldn't turn his camera on. And I was just like, no, he could probably do the job. I was just like, no, I'm not sending him across. And I did a post about it on LinkedIn and everyone was like, you're a horrible recruiter. You should send. I was like, no way. But I was thinking about that incident because I think that chap got through a lot of rounds of interviews. He obviously was pretty well refined, but that was an interesting story.
Know Before, it's a big company and with a great reputation. It can happen to them. However, they saw what was happening because they had other cybersecurity protocols in place. But still, the fact that the guy did get so far to where he could begin pulling down mail was interesting. But again, it's that layered defense, right? Mm-hmm. If you're not watching the Matrix, as the little green letters come down, you don't know what's happening.
Yeah, I can imagine that they've got internal people. I've never worked with them. I bet they're just like looking at everyone now. Like, who is this? I bet the recruiters are just on one now for the next few years.
I'm not going to say it breeds paranoia, but yeah, when I get a similar, and I'm like, all right, is that really you? Are you just mashing buttons on your phone or what?
Yeah, it'll be like the cracking profile comes across, like all the communications lining up, some nice certifications, like sweet spot in terms. They'll be like, nah. This is it. It's happening again.
Yep.
Cool.
It's even this, what we're creating right here, right now is enough content easily to, so.
Yeah, it is.
It's a scary world.
It is. I feel like this question, so employee number two, I think last time I checked, have you got about 40 people in the organization at the minute?
North of 60.
North of 60. Okay, cool. So you've seen some growth there. You've obviously hired a lot of people. What do you look for when you're hiring for people out there listening? Is there any do's and don'ts? Have you got any thoughts or advice for people out there on the hiring front? What's the difference between someone that's just okay and someone that's phenomenal? What do you look for, mate?
Number one, and I say this, and I swear it's almost every day, reading is a superpower. People don't read an email that comes from HR that says, hey, you need to do this or you're going to lose your whole 401k, right? That's important. But they don't read it. And so they're not reading that email. And then everything else, if you're not reading, then you can't be learning. So number one, I'm looking for people who are learning, who have, in the interview, goals. I'm going to take my Security Plus within this time period is when I'm going for it. I'm studying now. I'm looking for people who are engaged and not just treading water, right? Because in our organization, we can't tread water. Nobody gets to tread water. Everybody's head gets shoved under the water and you either grow gills or you're gone. So I hired a cybersecurity analyst, no experience. And the reason was is because she was getting her certs, had gotten a degree, and during COVID had spent all of this time preparing for this career transition. Now, she had 20 years in another career field, but had what sold it was she had done all these things to lay the groundwork to make this career transition. All she needed was an opportunity. And don't ever let anybody tell you that people over 50 can't learn, because we literally, welcome to OSS. There is no time to learn this stuff. Your head's going under the water. Grow gills, all right, because we need you now. And Google.com, man, how do I do this? What is this? So it's all out there. You can learn. It's all out there. If you're not keeping up with the vocabulary, you need to be Googling, writing it down, looking it up that night so that you can come back tomorrow and be like, I know what we talked about. I didn't during the meeting, but I'm caught up now.
I like that. It's, I think, the compound effect as well of having that attitude over time. You can meet someone and think, God, they're miles ahead of me. But if you just actually stick to it and do a bit each day, I think the compound effects of that are larger than a lot of people realize.
Yeah. A brick every day.
Exactly, yeah.
Bring one brick. Yeah. Sooner or later, you realize you've got a house.
Yeah.
But it's one brick a day.
What's that saying again?
Grow gills.
Yep. Grow gills.
I'm going to throw you in the deep end and hold your head underwater until you grow gills.
I like that. Hey, do you know what? Kudos to you as well for hiring someone with that experience, because I like that. And do you know what? That isn't the norm. There's a lot of employers out there that just will not. They won't do that. So I like the fact you've done that and you've looked at other core skills and aptitude levels that you can see that you can work with to get what you want. I think that's a good thing, that is.
Your HR team is going to focus on knowledge, skills, and abilities. But honestly, they really focus on knowledge and skills and rarely abilities. Abilities can be soft skills, but the desire to learn, the motivation, those are hard to evaluate until you've got somebody right in front of you. And then many people just look at, what blocks am I checking? And they'll walk past a great individual who will go learn those missing blocks. Oh, you don't have a certification in this. You're not a CISSP. I'm not a CISSP. Nobody would hire me to be a CIO, right? I'm completely unqualified. And yet, OSS has been through a CMMC audit and passed. What's more important, that your organization is certified or that you as an individual are certified, right?
We could have a whole other podcast on CMMC.
Oh, yes, we can. Yes, we can.
Yeah, it's definitely here. I always say, I think even the people that didn't believe it existed, I think even they're admitting that it's going to be here at the start of next year. At least it's going to be cropping up in the odd contract here and there, I think.
Oh, we've already seen the DFARS clause in some of the contracts we have today. And we're not rocking the boat, but at some point, it's going to be like, hey, do you have this piece of paper? We do. Yeah. And then they're going to have to ask the question, and the people who don't have that piece of paper, it's like, you can't be on the contract. And
there's a lot coming. I know some of the calls we're getting from MSPs doing readiness assessments and stuff like that. I don't think they're going to be quiet, put it that way.
Now that MSPs have got to be certified, that changes the calculus, because as a small business, unless you're a cybersecurity business, you can't get there without an MSP. If you can, please call me and tell me how you've done it, because I would love to know. We wouldn't be where we're at without an MSP.
Cool. I think as well, as we come to the end here, you mentioned there it's slow down to speed up almost, like just doing things properly. Like, I think we're in the age of just trying to just get everything done, and it's just take a step back, a bit more strategic, and you probably get to where you're going quicker anyway. And I think sometimes we all need to hear that, because it's so easy to rush, you get really stressed.
You have procedures for vetting almost anything. You're going to vet a vendor, a product, whatever it is. The bad guys know that we're all running hard, and all they have to do is just put their thumb on the scale just a little, add a little more urgency to get us to be like, all right, I don't have time to do that. I've just got to get this done to satisfy my senior's request. And that's when you find out they got us, because we stopped. We said, oh, we're just going to shortcut it this once. Mm. And that's what they were counting on. Now they're in. So it's easier to hack people.
So final question. It used to be book, but it can be book or podcast or content. But what you're consuming online at the minute, that or what have you read, could be security related, could be just something that's making you a better version of yourself, could be a self-help book, could be anything. But general content you've consumed at any point that's helped you that could help others.
I used to read How Stuff Works a lot. It all depends on your discipline. But the one thing I'll say is innate human ability. The one thing I would recommend is something called Message to Garcia. I had to read it as a lieutenant. It mattered. It made a difference to me. It has made a difference as I mentor junior folks every time. And basically, Message to Garcia is just about a lesson about figuring it out on your own. Okay. Which, reading is a superpower. Go read, figure it out, and execute autonomously without bothering everybody else. Just ask for what you need and go execute. That's the moral of that story. And the second one is, if you're more senior, then you've got your technical foundation and you know how to do things. Now you want to improve and build better because you're leading and managing. And I would say Good to Great is a great publication. So that's my two.
Yeah, thank you, mate. And for everyone listening, we'll get Lord's recommendations in the show notes. But thanks, mate. I've promised the team that I'll keep these under an hour from now. Apparently, the editing gets really hard when you do it over an hour. And and whoever edits this will be listening because they'll be like, God, he's done it again. He's gone over. Now they're going to hear me laughing at them, Lloyd. What are we going to do?
Yeah, boss management.
But no, it's been nice to catch up and get your insights. And I know that you're a busy man. So thanks for your time. And yeah, do you think we've about nailed it? Do you think we've done okay?
I think so. And like I said, maybe there's another CMMC episode down there in the future.
There definitely is. There's definitely a CMMC episode. 100, 100. And yeah, thanks again.
All right. Thank you. And bye to the listeners.